Chapter 1. Two seemingly unconnected events heralded the summons of Mr. George Smiley from his dubious retirement. The first had for its background Paris, and for a season the boiling month of August, when Parisians, by tradition, abandon their city to the scalding sunshine and the busloads of packaged tourists. On one of these August days, the fourth, and at 12 o'clock exactly, for a church clock was chiming and a factory bell had just preceded it, in a quartier once celebrated for its large population of the poorer Russian émigrés, a stocky woman of about 50, carrying a shopping bag, emerged from the darkness of an old warehouse and set off, full of her usual energy and purpose, along the pavement to the bus stop. The street was grey and narrow and shuttered, with a couple of small hôtel de passe and a lot of cats. It was a place, for some reason, of peculiar quiet. The warehouse, since it handled perishable goods, had remained open during the holidays. The heat, fouled by exhaust fumes and unwashed by the slightest breeze, rose at her like the heat from a lift shaft, but her Slavic features registered no complaint. She was neither dressed nor built for exertion on a hot day, being in stature very short indeed, and fat, so that she had to roll a little in order to get along. Her black dress of ecclesiastical severity possessed neither a waist nor any other relief, except for a dash of white lace at the neck and a large metal cross, well fingered but of no intrinsic value, at the bosom. Her cracked shoes, which in walking tended outwards at the points, set a stern tattoo rattling between the shuttered houses. Her shabby bag, full since early morning, gave her a slight starboard list and told clearly that she was used to burdens. There was also fun in her, however. Her grey hair was gathered in a bun behind her, but there remained one sprightly forelock that flopped over her brow to the rhythm of her waddle. A hardy humour lit her brown eyes. Her mouth, set above a fighter's chin, seemed ready, given half a reason, to smile at any time. Reaching her usual bus stop, she put down her shopping bag and with her right hand massaged her rump just where it met the spine, a gesture she made often these days, though it gave her little relief. The high stool in the warehouse where she worked every morning as a checker possessed no back, and increasingly she was resenting the deficiency. "Devil," she muttered to the offending part. Having rubbed it, she began plying her black elbows behind her like an old town raven preparing to fly. "Devil," she repeated. Then, suddenly aware of being watched, she wheeled round and peered upward at the heavily built man towering behind her. He was the only other person waiting, and indeed at that moment, the only other person in the street. She had never spoken to him, yet his face was already familiar to her. So big, so uncertain, so sweaty. She had seen it yesterday. She had seen it the day before, and for all she knew, the day before that as well. My Lord, she was not a walking diary. For the last 3 or 4 days, this weak, itchy giant, waiting for a bus or hovering on the pavement outside the warehouse, had become a figure of the street for her, and what was more, a figure of a recognisable type, though she had yet to put her finger on which. She thought he looked traqué, hunted, as so many Parisians did these days. She saw so much fear in their faces, in the way they walked, yet dared not greet each other. Perhaps it was the same everywhere. She wouldn't know. Also, more than once, she had felt his interest in her. She had wondered whether he was a policeman. She had even considered asking him, for she had this urban cockiness. His lugubrious build suggested the police. So did the sweaty suit and the needless raincoat that hung like a bit of old uniform from his forearm. If she was right, and he was police, then high time too. The idiots were finally doing something about the spate of pilfering that had made a bear garden of her stock-checking for months. By now the stranger had been staring down at her for some time, however, and he was staring at her still. "I have the misfortune to suffer in my back, monsieur," she confided to him finally, in her slow and classically enunciated French. "It is not a large back, but the pain is disproportionate. You are a doctor, perhaps? An osteopath?" Then she wondered, looking up at him, whether he was ill, and her joke out of place. An oily gloss glistened on his jaw and neck, and there was unseeing self-obsession about his pallid eyes. He seemed to see beyond her to some private trouble.